Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
We stand at the doorstep of history, ready to realize a centuries-old dream. It's going to be very, very exciting. But we have to pass the bill so that you can find out what is in it.
Nancy Lugosi.
Yes, you appeal to.
Only the History Channel could do service to what we're living through here. Nero, Caligula. I don't know which Roman emperor he most approximates. I think he's more like an Egyptian pharaoh than a Roman emperor. Obama more looks more pharaonic to me than he does on the emperor style. Pelosi is out of her mind altogether. Did you hear what she just said that I want to open the show with? We stand on the steps of history, something we've all been waiting for hundreds of years. You mean since George Washington saved America from British colonization, he's dreamed of socialized medicine. Since Thomas Jefferson and George Washington wrote the U.S. Constitution, they've dreamed of socialized medicine. Well, okay, I rest my case. I understand that most of you don't even care about it anymore. I don't blame you. You're worn out. You're worn out. That's exactly how Rahm Emanuel gets his way. That's exactly how they get their way. They wear you out, one initiative after another, one shock to the system after another, until eventually the entire body politic is electrocuted and easily manipulated. That's what happens when you have a gang that doesn't respect the Constitution and power. Atheists and communists want Paul Revere, Christians, and the Liberty Bell thrown out of new textbooks being written in Texas. Not making this up. This week in Texas, they're discussing who to put in and who to take out of textbooks. Now, the reason it's important is because although this is happening in Texas, what winds up in textbooks in Texas winds up in the classrooms of 46 other states. The radical left, the vermin on the left, want to remove Thomas Edison and Albert Einstein and put in Famous Amos cookies. To the vermin on the left, Famous Amos cookies, as an invention now, even though it's a product, are equal to the light bulb and to the theory of relativity. It just shows you what affirmative action does to the human mind and to the human spirit. Atheists and communists want Paul Revere thrown out of the new textbooks. They want references to Christianity removed from the textbooks. They want references to the Liberty Bell removed from the textbooks. So you say, well, there's no war going on. No, no war. No war, not at all. Okay, unemployment benefits no longer temporary. That's right. Pelosi has decided to give people unemployment forever. It'll be like Cuba. They'll be playing backgammon on the fender of a 1986 Datsun. 2.5 million Floridians on food stamps. More than one out of every eight residents, of course, most of them are illegal aliens. Almost 14% of the population rely on the program to help put food on the table in Florida. That's the welfare state. 1-800-449-8255. You want me to talk about Massa? It's over already with the naked shower job. What did I tell you yesterday in the Savage Nation? What did I tell you? I told you they were blackmailing him on the gay issue. Did I tell you? I was the only one who read it. So today he goes on Glenn Reck's show, and Glenn Reck was the train wreck I've always known Glenn Reck was. He's a train wreck. He sat there like a patsy, and Massa rolled all over him saying, don't call Obama communist. Don't call him Marxist. And Glenn Reck sits there like the puppy dog that he is. That's why he's known as Glenn Reck in the media behind his back. Because he's a train wreck about to happen. Let me ask you something. If you're gay, can you answer this question for me, please? Here's the question. According to Obama, he wants don't ask, don't tell thrown out. He wants gays in the military because it's a perfectly fine behavior to be gay. And there should be no discrimination against gays in any way. Marriage, you name it. Gay is good. But Massa, because he groped boys, is bad because that's a bad gay behavior because he didn't go along with Obamacare. That's the kind of blackmail that you would find in dictatorships. So Obama is blackmailing through Rahm Emanuel Massa, threatening to out him for this type of behavior because he didn't go along with the fascist dictatorship. How could gay people put up with this? You remember all the stories you heard about, what's his name? J. Edgar Hoover, that he used to blackmail people, that he had the dossiers on them. This is what they're doing. This is what your friends, the liberals, are doing right now. 1-800-4498. Or how about the breast milk and cheese? The guy should be put in jail. There's a restaurant in New York where some psycho has taken his wife's breast milk and made cheese out of it and serving to the customers. To me, arrest him. In jail. Jail him. That's all. Him and the wife. How could you? I mean, Rockefeller allegedly drank human breast milk for his longevity. That's one thing. If you're rich and a sicko. He had nursing mothers come over to him. And he said breast milk was good, you know, the colostrum, whatever. I don't even want to go into it. And it's not your business whether I was breastfed. It's not your business at all. What the important thing is what society we are living in and what's happened. When you have a naked Marxist imposter in the White House, when you have Rahm Emanuel, who people say would sell his own mother for votes, when you have them blackmailing gays, when you have the buying of votes across America, when you have a meltdown of every cultural edifice in America, you have a revolution going on. And what can you do about it? You can do a lot about it. You can do a lot about it. Now the Obama administration is launching a civil rights investigation of all schools in America. Civil rights investigation of all schools. They want to find out why Hispanics and blacks don't get as good grades as whites. They're going to blame it on racism. Well, let me tell you a little story about it, and then you can decide whether it's racism or something else. You be the judge. In the San Francisco Bay Area, there is a Sausalito Unified School District right over the bridge from San Francisco. Beautiful city, Sausalito. Now, there's a pocket of African-American folks who live in some housing over there that was built during the war for the shipyard workers who built most of the Liberty ships for the Kaiser shipyards. And many of the people were brought in from the South to work in the shipyards. They did a fabulous job building the ships. They stayed on, had families. And it's a largely, as I say, African-American community. So the schools, the elementary schools in Sausalito, are comprised to a great extent, disproportionate to the overall population of the county, of African-American kids. About 15 years ago, the vermin on the left said that the reason the scores were lower in the black schools, the primarily black schools in Sausalito, was because of racism. And so the state of California, which is now bankrupt, started pumping more money per capita into the Sausalito schools than any other elementary school in the state of California. I think the numbers would double. The last I checked, it was $5,000 per kid. It generally in the schools of California, but $9,000 per kid in Sausalito. They pumped tons of money in. The grades were still low. So it had nothing to do with money. Nothing to do with money whatsoever. I can't solve the problem of families being broken down. I can't point the finger at why the family broke down. I know what, to a certain extent, what happened. We know it was the Great Society, the last liberal juggernaut of Lyndon Baines Johnson that destroyed the black family. We understand that. Many of you don't understand that black people had millions of small businesses across America before the 60s. You don't know that. You'd like to believe that blacks were as poor before the Great Society as after. That is a big lie. What happened was is LBJ came along with socialism, and he replaced the father with the state. The state provided the check rather than the father, and the families fell apart. That is the primary driver of the disintegration of the African-American nuclear family in the United States of America, according to my estimation, according to my knowledge. That's the way I see it. So when I see that Obama's launching yet another civil rights investigation of schools, I understand what's coming. The same big lie. You know, one thing you got to admit about liberals is that they're not that smart. They're very predictable. You know exactly what they're going to do and what they're going to say. There's nothing new coming out of them. Nothing. Duncan will pressure schools to enforce civil rights laws. Can you name one school in America that is not enforcing civil rights laws? Can you name one school in America that doesn't bend over backwards for minorities in every way possible to make certain that they're complying with an overbearing fascist government? The Bush administration bent over backwards, but that wasn't good enough. The left-wing vigilantes now want to prove something that isn't true, which is that the reason black kids and Hispanic kids do not perform as well as white kids is because of inherent racism, not because of other factors. And I'll let you figure out what they are. I don't want to talk about health care. I want to talk about everything but health care. There's nothing to say. You want to talk about Glenn Reck and the interview with him, with Massa? Massa was a big bore. Promised everyone. Went on Glenn Reck's show, promised the world, and said nothing. Why didn't Glenn Reck say to him, are you gay or not? Why didn't he just say to him, what's this all about? Are they blackmailing you, implying you were gay? What, did he ask him that? No. Glenn Reck sat there like a putz. Like a putz, silently, said nothing. And when Massa attacked him and said, oh, you and your Republican friends can't call Obama a Marxist, Glenn Reck sat there like the big schmuck he is. I'll be right back.
Savage.
While your daughter twitters, and while your son fritters away his masculinity, your country is being taken away from you on a daily basis. I don't care what the government tells you. I could give a crap less what the government lies are. I don't give a damn what they tell you. They lie to you every which way to Sunday. They tell you Islam is a religion of peace, but you don't read this story in your local paper, do you? Came into Nigeria. 500 Christians were slaughtered with machetes in Nigeria by Muslims. UN Chief Ban Ki-moon led calls for restraint after the slaughter of more than 500 Christians in Nigeria by Muslims. Three Christian villages were slaughtered by the Muslim Fulani ethnic group. There's the religion of peace. Now, where do they get it from? Where do the Muslims get it in their head that it's okay by their religion to pick up machetes and kill Christians? Are they getting it from white racists? No. Are they getting it from the Zionists? No. They're getting it from the... Survivors said the attackers were able to separate the Fulanis from members of the rival Biram group by chanting the word Nagai, the Fulani word for cattle. Those who failed to respond in the same language were hacked to death. The gang shouted Allah Akbar, sort of like Major Hassan, God is great, before breaking into homes and setting them afire in the early hours of Sunday. Churches were burnt down. The Vatican led a wave of outrage, expressing the Roman Catholic Church's sadness at the horrible acts of violence. Didn't mention the word Islam or Muslim. The useless UN gelding told reporters he was deeply concerned. The vermin, useless vermin in the UN said, I appeal to all concerned. All concerned. Now, everyone's equal, including those who are dead. They're equal to those who killed them. The useless Secretary of Hate, Hillary Clinton, urged, quote, all parties to exercise restraint. Not one word about Muslims or Islam. You hear? And she urged the Nigerian government to make sure the perpetrators are brought to justice without mentioning Muslim Islam. That's the chief U.S. diplomat, Hillary Clinton, said. You hear? Brought to justice under the rule of law. 500 Christians killed, pregnant women slaughtered with machetes. 500 killed in three villages, all Christians killed by Muslims. People were attacked with axes, daggers, and cutlasses. Many of them children, the aged and pregnant women. But that doesn't matter to Obama and Hillary Clinton. Because if you want to make an omelet, you got to break a few eggs. And in this case, the few eggs are the 500 Christians killed. Much of the violence was centered in the village of Dogo in the Wana, where gangs set fire to straw-thatched mud huts as they went on their rampage. Of course, that's not as important as the man who groped a male aide who went on Glenn Reck's television show. That's far more important. Or the moron in New York who's making breast milk cheese. That's far more important. So there it is. That's why your daughter twitters, while your son fritters away his masculinity. Headline, appeals for calm after Nigerian sectarian slaughter, again by the Agence France-Presse. No mention of Muslim till you read around three paragraphs into the article. Not Muslim slaughter Christians, but appeals for calm after Nigerian sectarian slaughter. In other words, it was just random, you know, random slaughter. They're on the warpath, folks, but you don't want to know it. You don't want to know any of this, because if you know this, what are you going to do about it? Well, you'll focus on, escapism. You have to. You have to escape. The terrors of the world have never been worse. Let's say in our lifetime. Never in our lifetime has it been this bad. When was it this bad in your lifetime? When you had an incompetent nincompoop Marxist professor imposing Marxist dialectic on the body politic. Tell me when. When have you ever seen the media as compliant with a government as you do now under Obama? Never. And then you have this psychopath, this bumbling nutcase, Nancy Pelosi. Play Pelosi again in case they missed it.
We stand at the doorstep of history, ready to realize a centuries-old dream. It's going to be very, very exciting. But we have to pass the bill so that you can find out what is in it.
Do you feel comfortable knowing that this woman is third in line to run the world? This is the same woman who was going along with the liberals in Texas, who want to remove Columbus and Neil Armstrong from the textbooks, take out Thomas Edison and Albert Einstein, and put in great, great geniuses like Famous Amos and Mary Kay Cosmetics. And you wonder why your daughter twitters and your son fritters away his masculinity? Because liberalism is a mental disorder. You don't have to go any further than Sean Penn saying that journalists who criticize Chavez and call him a dictator should be put in jail, and the media says nothing about him. They giggle. The useless vermin giggle. Instead of saying, you know, you're an idiot, you're never coming on the show again, you stupid drug addict, you.
Savage.
So we heard about the earthquake in Haiti, and rightly so. Good Americans went down and helped, and movie stars came in later and made believe they were helping. And you didn't hear about the Muslims who went on a rampage in Africa and killed 500 Christians, men, women, children, pregnant women, old, set churches on fire. Not one word of it from not one word in the American press. Not one word. You're living in a propaganda orgy. A negative propaganda orgy is what you're living through. But, you know, I'm one man. I can only do so much. I can only put my finger in the dike and hold back the deluge up to a point. If you're going to be more obsessed with one schmuck congressman going on Glenn Schmeck's show than you are with the war against the West, I can't help you. That's all. New York City, WOR. Let's take calls. Let us take calls on this day here. March 9, a very important day. 9 is a lucky number for me. It's also a significant birth date for someone I care for very much, someone I love. New York City, WOR, Mark, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, tragic what happened in Nigeria. Michael, I've been working in the belly of the beast as a New York City public school teacher for 25 years. You talked about the Marcusean Revolution last week. I love my students, but They are absolutely the product of the Marcusean Revolution. All scholarship is taken out of the schools. You talked about the Pan-Freudian sexuality. As far as Duncan's edict already, the world has turned around. The civil rights movement was said not to look at the kids' skin color or where they came from. And now, right. Of course, it's the opposite. Now we've got a list of statistics of which kids get which and all groupings.
So in other words, Arnie Duncan, the reversed Gulliver-like education secretary, is now going to insist that all children get higher grades, even if they didn't qualify for them. He wants outcome-based education.
We call it differentiation in the school.
But don't we have that in the president? Didn't we wind up with a president, basically? It's outcome-based an outcome-based presidency?
Absolutely, Michael. And I really don't believe in socialism at all, Michael. I'm totally against it. But seeing what's coming up, there's no work ethic anymore. There's no skills. And I'm afraid that we really need the socialism, I hate to say it, or the barbarians will be at the gate, Michael. This is how far...
You're saying we need socialism to placate them, to give them, like, a check every month so they can shoot themselves up with drugs?
Michael, I obviously it's not every kid, it's not every person in America, but they...
Well, no, it's like Cuba, where they sit around, they're doped up, they play backgammon, they don't have jobs, and they live in the socialist paradise of Fidel Castro's prison.
There's absolutely no work ethic at all. The one thing I haven't heard in 24 years, in all the workshops, all the meetings, all the suggestions, is that the kids should work hard and study for a test now and then, Michael.
I see.
I've never heard it in 24
years. Well, I understand. Maybe I'm overworked. Maybe I work too much. I thought about it myself today. I mean, I work from the minute I get up on the computer for the show until at the end of the day. And I said, why am I working so hard? What do I care so much? The people don't care. What do I care? Maybe it's time for me to go off onto the funny farm of life. You know what I mean? Let Obama turn it into Cuba North. The people will be happier. Then all the dummies will have something even though they didn't earn it. And all the earners can wind up working for the dummies.
I'm afraid that's really what we have with the barbarians.
I think it could happen. I think it's already happened. How many people in this country don't work at all? Do you know that something like 60% of the people do not work in this country, of the overall population? 40% of the people support the other 60% of the people. You're aware of that, I'm sure, Mark.
That's exactly it, Michael. My mother was a social worker. She said there were three generations of people in America who woke up and never see a man go to work, ever seen a man go to work in the morning.
Daddy was home because there was no daddy.
That's the main problem in America, Michael.
The feminist movement made sure that daddy was driven out of the house. That was number one. The most important thing was that feminism triumphed without any thought of the consequences of this. The important thing was to bring down the patriarchy.
Michael, basically, if you could say the only thing of racism that I could say is probably in the elementary schools where they feed the Ritalin to young boys, especially minority boys, and of course they'll never go for that. I'm sure they'll up the doses in that, but if there's anything, it's probably the Ritalin that they give to those little kids 6, 7, 8 years old.
Well, that's right. That's how they get them hooked on drugs. That's how the pharmaceutical manufacturers work with the illegitimate doctors to hook children on drugs by first putting them on drugs that are not required for illnesses that don't exist from the age of 1 or 2. They start doping them up with illnesses that don't exist, ADHD, ADD, you name it. They made up the illness in order to fit the drug. And consequently, the kids are ready for the real drugs by the time they hit the teen years.
It's really the complete...
All right, look, Mark, my heart bleeds for you. I mean, in a real way, I can feel your pain. Honestly, I really can. The guy's upset. I have a new affiliate in Portland, Oregon, KPAM. Mike, welcome. Thanks for calling from the great new KPAM in Portland. It's great to be live in Portland.
Yes, it's great to hear you, Dr. Savage. You know, something really disturbed me greatly when you described your dream, because I have similar dreams, and if you allow me, I'll explain what I think it means.
Hold on. Let me explain the dream. For over 10 or 15 years, I've had a repetitive nightmare that I'm trapped at Heathrow and I can't get out. It's like a blizzard of people. I can't get the ticket. I get to the counter, the plane left, or I get there, there's no seats. And I'm always trying to get home and I can't get home. I've had the same dream now for 10, 15 years. And then I'm banned in Britain last May, 2009. And I say, wait a minute, was this precognitive knowledge of what was coming?
I think so, Doctor. And I also think that you carry a lot of weight on your shoulders. And I think that you see the future as we drift into the horror show that is England, and you desperately want us to get back to the America that was the 50s, where we were strong and we knew our neighbors, and we, you know, it was a different neighborhood, and you're trapped in this, you know, what we're drifting into, the socialist nightmare of England.
Well, I think there's a degree of truth in that. I don't know exactly what the dream means. I can't say. But remember, where socialism began was not with Obama. It began with Johnson's Great Society. Some would say it happened with the Dwight D. Eisenhower right after World War II. You want to trace the roots of socialism back. It didn't start a year ago.
When my grandparents, my grandmother told me that when they left the village in Russia to come here, the head of the communist head of the village came and said, "We only ask one thing of you. America, its strength is diversity, and we want you to undermine that diversity, or whatever you can do to create animosity amongst the diversity of America. You know, that's America's strength, but it's also its weakness."
You mean the melting pot became the chamber pot?
Yeah, she went to work in
aptly put it in one of my previous books, how we've gone from the melting pot to the chamber pot in one generation. Thank you for the call. Look, I give it to you the way I see it, from the melting pot to the chamber pot. You don't like it? How come you don't like it? Was it strike too close to home? Country once was a melting pot. People came here. They all melted into an American. They kept their customs, their traditions, their language. But overall, they were primarily wanting to become Americans. And now, unfortunately, we're no longer a melting pot. We're something else. And I named it a colorful phrase, what we've become. Because people won't melt anymore. They want you to become like them. How come they flee the third world and they want you to now have what they left behind? That's something I can't understand. They flee the most destitute regions on earth. They flee backward religious practices and they come here and want to impose it on the country. Why don't they just go back where they came from if they hate America so much? They want to put and make them walk around with slits over the eyes. I say let them go back where they came from, like Chad or Libya, and live like that. Why impose that on us? Seven or eight European nations, left-wing, so no, you're not going to impose your throwback chattel-like outfit on our women. You don't like it, go back where you came from. Seven European nations have said that. Switzerland voted to ban more minarets in their country. And this country says nothing about the Islamic juggernaut that is put at your throat. And this is after Fort Hood. This is after a sleeper goes wild at Fort Hood and kills 12 or 13, wounds 30, and it's swept under the rug by the left-wing vermin in the media. Swept under the rug. You wouldn't know that Major Hassan was Muslim. You wouldn't know he screamed Allah Akbar before he killed him. You wouldn't know that he wore a white outfit in the grocery store the morning before the slaughter. You would know nothing of it. The army swept it under the table because Obama doesn't want you to know it. Obama doesn't want you to know anything about anything. And that's why the country is what it is. That's why those who control the news and the entertainment industry fill you with entertainment with a little bit of news. That's why they show you the Hollywood sluts throwing up on themselves on Sunset Boulevard. Instead of holding up role models of young women who go to medical school or become social workers or nurses, they show you the most vile form of female behavior imaginable. And you wonder why your daughter is screwed up? You can blame the people in the media for that. Take a look at okay. I don't know why I'm going on about what you already know. I don't know. This is old hat already. Would you like me to do a history lesson instead of getting angry? What phase of history would you like to talk about? The Roman Empire from Augustus to Nero? And how it became increasingly licentious and degenerate and then collapsed? Shall we go into that one? I just did. How about in one sentence I gave you a sweep of history and the end of Rome? The end of the Roman Empire. Shall I begin again? It started with sexual licentiousness and ended up with the collapse of the entire nation state. That's how it begins, by the way. You see, what you don't know is, you know what? If it feels good, do it. Why not do it in the road? It's my business, not your business. State has no right to control sexuality. Whatever I want to do is my business. Don't tell me what to do. Blah, 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 blah. Eventually, that leads to the next stage and the next stage and the next. Then it becomes something other than just sexual freedom. Stage after sexual freedom is sexual sadism, public sexual sadism. And then you become inured to that. It doesn't bother you. The next thing is the arena where people are killed on public television for dollars. Say, of course, it's not happening now. It's early yet. It's early in the decline. And it could go on another 100 years like this or 200 years until eventually there's no America. And of course, you can't forget the barbarians breaking the empire in two. The barbarians broke the Roman Empire in two. They broke it in half. And we, of course, are invaded by barbarians, and we have a government that represents the barbarians, not the citizens. You have an illegitimate government that is representing the illegitimate barbarians who broke through the gates, and they tell the people who say, we don't want the barbarians stealing our schools and our hospitals, and the government says, we'll put you in jail if you do anything to stop this. We are here to service the barbarians. The barbarians are here, and we represent them. It's an upside-down society. You could look at Rome, and you know how it ends. There's no good ending to this. There's no good ending to this. It ends very badly. When you look at the Oscars the other night, here are these people who think that they're superior to you. You look at the drug addicts who are up there. You look at the sexual madness and the drug addicts who are up there and the awards they gave to each other. And then you listen to the rubbish that comes out of their mouth, the anti-Americanism, the anti-family, the anti-church, the anti-militarism, the anti-military, whatever you want that's decent in the world, everything good and decent, they hate and despise. Why? Because of a number of factors. You can't say one thing. It begins with sexual licentiousness, drugs, and then it leads to thoughts of communism being superior to capitalism, even though they're all capitalists. And they tell you that racism is inherent in society. Before long, these uneducated morons who went to the High School of Performing Art or the equivalent, who know nothing about H2O or HOH, nothing. They couldn't even tell you what water is made of, but they're experts on carbon dioxide. If you ask them in a moment, does a plant take in CO2 or H2O, they couldn't answer you. Does a plant need CO2 or O2 in order to breathe? I guarantee you that Sean Penn wouldn't know the answer to that. He'd have to consult his Ouija board to get an answer. I'll be right back.
Savage.
We stand at the doorstep of history, ready to realize a centuries-old dream. It's going to be very, very exciting. But we have to pass the bill so that you can find out what is in it.
Well, it's like the Mad Hatter's Tea Party, only it's not funny. You have lunatics running the country. We have to pass the bill so you know what's in it? You find that funny? I'm glad we had a laugh track. It's unbelievable to me. It really is. We're like living in the fall of ancient Rome, I swear to God, where madness has taken over the throne. It's as though we have like a mad sister of an emperor who's sort of talks every once in a while. They bring her out of one of the palaces, and the mad sister makes a speech, and the Romans say, they gasp. And then they go on with their daily lives. You know, they go, oh, I can't believe it, that we were in such hands like this. It's unbelievable. Well, the doctor is in, and the diagnosis is clear. Liberalism is a mental disorder. So let's continue to diagnose the mental disorder together today. New York City, WOR Rich, go ahead. You're up on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Yes, Michael, two quick things. Number one, I wanted to thank you for everything you're doing. And
well, that's
two,
okay. But remember, I do it for a living. In other words, I get paid for this. But yeah, I understand. Everyone gets paid for what they do.
Okay. And Michael, also, I have gotten more of an education by listening to two main people, you and Jimmy from Brooklyn.
Jimmy's some knowledgeable guy. He's so obsessed with the realities of communism, isn't he?
Yes, yes.
Well, Rich, what if you were in my class today? Let's say we were in a classroom, a graduate seminar in whatever. What would you like me to talk about today? What topic?
Oh, Michael, there are so many topics. I would find any one of them interesting.
The Punic Wars. I never liked the Punic Wars. It's the one thing that I never found interesting. But other than that, I think I could talk about anything else in a broad sweep of history.
I'll tell you something, Michael, very honestly. I will never, never watch the Academy Awards, that garbage. I'd rather hear you talk about stories of Teddy.
I know, I know. I want to give you a Teddy story? I don't know where to begin. I was mad at him for a few weeks because of the peeing. You know, he's 5 years old. He's very good 99% of the time, but he sneaks around once in a while, okay? And it's starting to got to me. I got angry and I lost, you know, I lost my connection to him. And he felt it. But over the last few days, I started to call him my little spirit with fur. And I realized he's my little spirit with fur that nature or accident put in my life. I can't believe this, how intuitive they are with regard to feelings, animals. He knows I love him again in the way that a person could love an animal. And he's so close to me now. It's frightening. Plus, I'm feeling the whole mortality thing about this little creature. I can't love him too much because they don't live that long, and I don't want to lose another dog. I'm going through that again. And then I said, what about losing a person? You know, you're talking about losing a dog. You know, you lost your mother a number of years ago. I mean, you're going on and about the dog like it's worse than losing your mother. But it's a strange phenomenon. You know, this whole thing about mortality, I think, is magnified with our pets more so than with humans.
Yes.
Do you have a pet, Rich?
Yes, I do, Michael.
What type of animal?
My dog is part shepherd and part beagle. Her name is Arielle.
And how old is she?
She's about 7 or 8 years old.
And this is certainly not your first dog, right?
Second dog.
And the first one is where, buried or in a terrain somewhere?
My first dog died a few years ago.
No, but I'm saying, did you cremate it and put the ashes in a little dish?
She was cremated, yes.
I have my Snowy's ashes are in a little, a friend did this with all of his 6 previous dogs on his mantle with little pictures. I thought it was interesting. Like all his dogs are in a little jar on the mantle, and there's a picture of each one over the years in the ash jar. You know, like it's sealed, it's dignified. So I got a box, and I have Snowy in there with a picture. It's eerie. All of that spiritual, the whole thing, the playing, the years, the jumping, the fences, the children were young, lassie, come home, little shelter, I love you, then frail and crippled and blind and dead in the yard, and ashes in a box, ashes to ashes and dust to dust.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
We stand at the doorstep of history, ready to realize a centuries-old dream. It's going to be very, very exciting. But we have to pass the bill so that you can find out what is in it.
So that's like the mad sister of the emperor coming out from behind the curtains and giving a speech and the audience laughs. Centuries of waiting for health care reform? You mean George Washington's fight against the British was all about health care, Nancy? Is that it? What do you mean centuries? Where were people clamoring for health care for centuries? Well, all right, we covered that already. Then you had Eric Masser, the congressman. You heard that already. It's old news. Gone. No one wants to hear it anymore. It's a big nothing. Big buildup. Why was he pushed out? And the nude guy running in the thing with the thing with the finger in the chest. He's going to tell all on Glenn Reck's show, and Glenn Reck sits there like Mr. Puppy Dog Schmuck, and the guy says nothing for an hour, and that was it. But turn on Fox News for another hour of nothingness with Mr. Puppy Dog with the eyes on there. I give him another year before he explodes on the air. Another year. He has no lasting power, because if he could fall for this Masa and get nothing out of him and not throw him off the show, he's got nothing to offer you. A year until he implodes. Me, 16 years, still here, durable. Durable, 16 years, dual battery operated mentality. Look at this. How could she be the Speaker of the House? I can't believe. I mean, it's like I went to sleep and woke up and a lunatic is the Speaker of the House of Representatives. I wouldn't mind a woman. Doesn't bother me. The women I know are very competent. Very competent. Very confident, but this one is nuts. And she, what does she do with the laugh all the time? Like everything is delightful? The country hates her, laughs at her, mocks her, doesn't want the socialized medicine. And she says hundreds of years they've been waiting for this. Where? In Venezuela? One in six Americans infected with herpes. Okay, nothing to do with the thing before that. You have to pass the bill so you can find out what's in it. And then all you care about is what was on Glenn Schmeck's show. I mean, Glenn Reck. Massa set him up for a fall. Well, they got to him last night. And they said, look, the guy's, limited. Set him up. You're smarter than him. Boy, Karl Rove, I mean, looking back, Karl Rove, they made him into Hitler. They made him like the head of the SA, Karl Rove, the media. But you got a naked guy running around in the showers, pointing in the chest, screaming, yelling, and he's fine. Makes Karl Rove look like Snow White. Nothing more will come of it. It's over. It's over. They bought him off. They got rid of him. He quit. And I guarantee he's got something waiting for him. I guarantee that's the last you'll ever hear of the guy. A little bit more and nothing will come out. Nice guy, married. Another one touched the boy. That's the biggest problem in the world. Let's say he touched the boy. So that's a problem to you. In Rome, they all touched. They touched boys, girls. Oh, it's like ancient Rome now. What does it matter what they touched? No one cared. It wasn't about morality till the nasty Christians came along. Then they screwed up everyone's sexuality by telling them right from wrong. Before that, the Romans didn't know right from wrong. Little sect, a breakaway group of Jews, created a religion. And they told the Romans it's not right to do it. So they fed them to the lions, that's all. I will show you what's right. Show you what's wrong. Want to touch boys, we'll touch boys. Want to touch girls, we'll touch girls. It's not your business. You can't tell us there's morality. Never heard of such a thing. We're Romans. So the Christians introduced morality in an amoral society, and they got fed to the lions. Does it sound familiar to you on a minor scale? It's very similar when you think about it. When you actually think about what I'm saying to you, it's an interesting parallel what I'm giving you here. In my mind, what's the difference what I'm giving you? Harry Smith colonoscopy to air on early show. Who's Harry Smith? And why would I want to look in that in his filthy colon? Babel, who is Harry Smith? And he's putting his colon, because she did it, I see. She showed the colonoscopy. I'll never have a colonoscopy again as long as I live. Never. I don't recommend them. Ooh, he goes up against the big, big guns in the colonoscopy racket. Ooh, it's like organized colonoscopies. I had a butcher boy, the butcher of Belsen. The tube in me, I don't want to go into it. It was like a mortadella they pulled out. I couldn't believe what he was waiting to stick. No, look, it's the whole thing is rife with humor, but it was horrible. Horrible. If someone had told me what I would suffer from that colonoscopy, and thank God there was no, everyone's, you got to have it, you're over 50. You fall for every garbage the doctors tell you. Every procedure they must have it. Everything you must have. You have this, that. How many x-rays have you had in your life that you didn't need? Your body's dosed up with R-rays in your body. You know what your count is of x-rays from the quacks in the medical field? From dental work to this work to that work? You're like a walking tomb. Unnecessary procedures. Now the next one is the colonoscopy. And after I got it, I researched it thoroughly. I should have researched it before. Turns out that of all of the little polyps that they find, a very small percentage actually go on to becoming tumorous. They don't tell you that, though. It's like a negligible thing. Unless you're in a high-risk pool or you have symptoms, all right, then I could see it. But a general screening? Do you know how much money these quacks make on a colonoscopy? Let alone what it does to your psyche. There must be some religions that don't permit colonoscopies. There have to be. I can't imagine that Muslims would permit a colonoscopy, God bless them. I mean that. The Muslims permit colonoscopies? I wouldn't. If I were writing the laws of a religion, I'd say no colonoscopies, that's all. Because it's a humiliation for a man to submit like that to the quack. They wheel me into the room, they dope me. I was a year or 2 years ago. Never again. I don't recommend it. It's not that I have any particular fears. It's horrible. They wheel me in, so you're on a Valium or whatever, and he's there, the guy, the big guru, the chief quack, colonoscopy guru, putting the mask on. There were two other people rumbling around. I'm laying there doped up. I roll over. I look over there. There was like a black snake laying on a table next to me. I never saw anything. I thought it was a small thing they were going to. So I said to the girl, I said to her, that's going to go inside me? And he said, yeah, that's going to go inside you. It was a nightmare. It was like a night. It was like being raped, to be honest with you. Only you would like dope. You couldn't do anything. You couldn't even fight back. Then when it's over, they wheel you into a room, a curtain with other guys laying there, and the gas coming out of them, the sounds like a, it was like a morgue in there, like morgue. It's horrible. The whole medical procedure, the whole medical establishment is set up to humiliate you and turn you into a slab of meat. You talk about processed meat and processed chickens. It was no different than being a processed chicken. What a business. They got a racket here in San Francisco. A whole building giving up to stuffing people into people's intestines. All right, they tell me it saved your life. Then I'll get that call next. I'll get the colonoscopy crook telling me how many lives he saved. All right, I'm sure you have. How many lives did you humiliate and ruin along the way? It's a very complicated thing. You talk about health care. How many procedures do you really think you need of all these procedures you get? I mean, I'm a victim of them. I'm a victim of them as well. I was in the emergency room 3 times last year. Right away, boom, CT scan. Do you know how many x-rays I had last year because of a little fall or a little this or a pain? Right away, CT scan. Now, why did they do it? They had to do it because the quack lawyers would sue the hospital. So they're afraid of doing it like a protective procedure. That's a $500 billion, $500 billion a year to protect themselves against lawyers, unnecessary procedures. Of course we all want health care reform. Start with the lawyers. First, rein in the tort lawyers. Limit the lawsuits to $250,000 maximum, as has been done in California since 1977. Okay? Limit the lawsuits. No matter what they do to you, $250,000, boom. That's it. That's $500 billion saved. Put a highway patrolman in every hospital. No ticky, no laundry. No citizenship card, no health care. Of course, in a car wreck, will take care of you, but you're not getting primary care in a hospital. Okay, go back where you came from and get it there. We can't afford it. We're going broke. We're bankrupt. I'm sorry. Too bad. Goodbye. Okay, I don't care what La Raza says. I don't care what they say. We can't afford it anymore. Put a highway patrolman, put a cop in every emergency room. No citizenship. No health care. No citizenship, no health care. No citizenship, no health care. And by the way, tort reform, illegal aliens are the two biggest drains on the entire health care system. The two biggest drains are what I just mentioned to you. And yet you have not heard that being debated. In all of this rubbish about health care reform and reigning in costs and Nancy Pelosi, and no one mentions the real secret. Drivers of costs in the healthcare system. The lawyers and the illegals. I'll be right back.
Savage.
MichaelSavage.com. What do you want to talk about? I'm not going to talk about within Rahm Emanuel. We know who he is. You got naked thugs running around in the White House. Then they gussy themselves up and pretend that they're clean and honest. Come on, it's a gang. We know that. What's the difference between a gang and a group of people who act like a gang? Very little. We only know that if Republicans were acting this way, the media would be up in arms and people would be saying, oh, my God, they'd have to be impeached. We know there's a double standard in America because the socialist communists have been getting their way for so long that they're used to it. Liberalism is a mental disorder, but it's a dangerous mental disorder, as exemplified, in my opinion, by guys like Sean Penn, who are in the terminal stages of a mental meltdown. He goes on a TV show on CBS and says that Hugo Chavez, the dictator, is not a dictator, and anyone who says he's a dictator should be put in jail. And CBS doesn't edit that. CBS doesn't say, I'm sorry, sir, but you've crossed the line. You're off the air. And no one in the media says, wait a minute, that applies to us. We should go to jail, too. See, this is the terminus of madness. We're almost in the end of days in that regard. It can get worse and it will get worse. Don't think we're at the end of the worst. It isn't. We're just the beginning here. You are at the beginning of the reign of terror of Obama. He hasn't shown his teeth yet. Let me tell you right now, many of you say, oh, he's finished tea parties. We're going to take him in 2010. You are mistaken. You have not seen the teeth yet of this man. He's only 1 year in power. Look what he's done to this country. He's turned man against man. He has divided this nation the way it hasn't been divided since the Civil War. He's turned people against people. And you don't understand that it's him. It's this man's personality. The division in America is being driven by him, not by talk radio. He is the man driving people against each other with his attempts to transform America. What do you mean transform America? Into what? Why don't you tell us what you mean by transformational? What do you mean by transform? Into what? 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. New York City. Al, you're on the Savage Nation from WOR. What's on your mind?
Hi, Michael. Michael, this is Al from Butler, New Jersey. I've called you in the past. The Tea Party movement is looking for candidates to run for Congress, and I plan on signing up for that tonight. Now, do I think they're going to pick somebody like me? I don't know. You know, I look at Sarah Palin, and I ask myself, she was the main voice at that big Tea Party rally.
Right.
I ask myself, how in the world can they put her as the main voice when she's backing John McCain for the U.S. Senate run in Arizona, when John
right.
McCain is for illegal immigration?
Right.
He's for the health care bill.
Right.
So many other things that Barack Obama.
Right. And no talk of reining in the lawyers. Right. Republican Party apparatchik. Front woman for the Republican Party. Make no mistake about it. Mike was the first in the media to say, don't rush to the Sarah Palin banner because she's unelectable. Remember I said that?
You did say that, Michael. And I got to tell you something. I'm kind of disappointed in the Tea Party movement.
Don't count them out yet. There's a monster rally in July in Las Vegas, which I may attend. There's another one in September that another friend of mine is putting on in Miami I may attend. They've just gotten started. You know, they're not that organized yet. I wouldn't count them out so fast. Even if the Tea Parties do not actually elect candidates, they're going to move the Republicans to the right. I can guarantee you they're making the Republicans at least sound the right chords for the first time. And unto itself, that's like moving a ship that hasn't been moved in a long time.
Oh.
Go, Al. Go and run. Go and run. Go and run. Go and run. Run, rabbit, run. Run, rabbit, run. Let's hear Rahm Emanuel telling Eric Masa to be more happy in his failed campaign for Congress. Let's hear clip 19.
I don't want you tonight on TV to be angry.
All right.
Okay, just take
turn it
down.
Off. That's a bad sound. You should have told me it's bad sound. I don't review it before the show. I mean, someone should review it for me. Where's the naked one? Let's run it again for effect. Where it runs.
He has more than a dirty mouth. He has a Rahm Emanuel is son of the devil spawn. He is an individual who would sell his mother to get a vote. He would strap his children to a front end of a steam locomotive. And if he doesn't like that, he can come after me personally. Let me tell you a story about Rahm Emanuel.
Now, that's the big mouth yesterday. Today he goes on a Glenn Breck's show, and he says he didn't say that he would strap his children to a locomotive. He said he would strap my children. He lied, in other words. So when was he lying, this Masa? Yesterday or today? When was he lying? And why did Glenn Breck sit there like a puppy dog schmuck? Why? Answer. According to my religious beliefs, intellect is the highest level found within created beings. Did you know that according to my beliefs, angels are divided into categories according to their comprehension of God? Did you know that? And that emotions are on a lower level? Because emotions are found even among animals. So if you have a talk show host who's strictly emotion and no intellect, what you have is basically an animal with a tie. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. No tort reform. And one of the biggest snakes in the grass is Lindsey Graham, a trial lawyer. Lindsey Graham, one of the biggest snakes in the grass of all time. Oh, there's so many of them. You know, in the past, we knew that government was corrupt. It was always been corrupt. Who would go into politics? It was honest. Very few. People went in because they didn't have the brains to make a living doing anything else. They figured they could rob the public. Contracts, patronage positions, steering contracts. But if they were really that smart, they'd invent a product or perform a service and make much more money in the private sector. So what did they go into politics for? What was the point? Power? A lot of them are power mad psychopaths. We understand that. But they ran a parallel universe. We didn't care. But today, we do care. Because now it's coming down to our everyday lives.
Savage.
And
No, I'll tell you, I'd rather talk about my dog for 1 minute. I see now they're ruining the poodle breed. Everything is a mixture with a poodle. A cockapoo, a labradoodle, now a Yorkie poo. My dog is a poo-poo, pure poodle. What are they mixing the poodle in with everything? Which led me to think about this. What if the Democrats were a mixed breed? What would they be? If the Democrat Party of today under Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid, Rahm Emanuel represented a mixed breed of animal, what would they be? What comes to mind? To me, what comes to mind is the mixture between a jackal and an ass or a jackass. Now, don't get mad at me. I mean, that's the symbol of the Democrat Party anyway, isn't it? How does a donkey differ from a jackass? Does anyone really know? That's always complicated. One can breed and one can't breed. Which one can breed, the donkey or the jackass? Well, certainly the one that runs around in a locker room with his finger out with a no towel around his midsection can breed. We know that. But the difference between a donkey and an ass is very interesting. And there's a donkey and a mule, sorry. I have a friend who has a mule, one of the two. Gives him carrots or something down at the hill in Sonoma. I don't understand the difference. That's one thing in my high school biology I didn't. There's some things I've always blocked in my education. One of them was a sterile animal. I don't know why. I block out sterile animals. To me, I have no use for them. A sterile animal, I'm a real absolutist when it comes to certain things. And to me, a sterile animal is not of any interest to me because like the dead end there. They're like a genetic dead end. You have to kind of create them. They can't even recreate themselves. Well, I can make a jump right now, but I'm not on stage. I'm on the radio, so we'll stop right here. Oh, come on. Stop that. We're overusing it. Carolyn, Virginia, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you. This is the first time I've gotten on. Dr. Savage, you are the voice of liberty, truth, and justice.
Yes, I am. I agree with it. Normally, I don't like compliments. They make me uncomfortable because I was raised on rejection and abuse, so I'm uncomfortable with compliments. But I will accept what you said is true.
Well, it is true, and I consider myself a daughter of liberty because on my mother's side, I'm a 12th-generation American and with fifth-generation founders, and on my father's side...
Well, watch out, Carol. Don't tell the multicultural socialists that. They're liable to put you in a re-education camp to turn you into something inferior.
Got kicked out of the Patriot group. And not only that, on my father's side, my grandparents came over before the first Russian Revolution.
That's no good, because that, see, if they came over that long ago, they're suspect. Only people who come over illegally and take something for nothing are real citizens, according to this administration.
And when
those of you who go back that far are suspect to Obama.
I bet. And listen to this. When my grandfather got a job here as a machinist and the union came in, he stood up and he said, they said for everybody to pledge. He stood up and he said, I pledge to God and my country in his Russian English. And he left the building and he never...
Oh, because he knew that unions were based on communist philosophy.
Right. And he left. He never went back. And,
I was once a member of a teacher's union. And when I got into a hot water, you know what? They stabbed me in the back and went on the side of management. That's what my experience with unions. They're worthless.
I hate unions. Anyway,
I don't hate them. They're just worthless for the worker. Let me put it to you that way. In my experience, I was forced to join a union in a teaching job. And when I got into trouble for something I didn't do and I needed their help, they stabbed me in the back. They did a deal with management and they saw what they could get out of it for themselves. That was my experience. So that's how I see things. Thank you for the call. Play a little patriotic music because I tried the poodle thing. That didn't work either. I thought it was funny. Jacqueline and it. Right. The last refuge. What was it? Beowulf got that joke. When I said the last refuge, that's a part of a sentence that patriotism is the last refuge of the scoundrel, right? Who said that, Beowulf? I was a patriot as a Boy Scout. As a kid, I remember, put it down, I was a Boy Scout in Queens, and I was one of the idealistic kids who believed what the Scoutmaster said. So when he said, we're having an election, I don't know how old I was, 10, 11, he said, we're having an election, and the vote is the most sacred thing in America, and so many people don't vote. This is already back in the 50s, people already turned out. So he said, we want you to go out to every door jam in the county, your town. We're going to give you a little get out the vote cards. You know, the flag on one side and vote, blah, blah, blah. And put them on every door. I worked till midnight that night. My mother called the police. They didn't know where I was. When I get into something, I get so absorbed that I don't know where I am. It's the way I was when I built models, the way I am when I write books. It's the way I am when I'm on the radio. It's the way I am when I fill in the blank. When I get absorbed and involved in something, I get tunnel vision. So I was one of the kids who actually went out and got out the vote. And look where we wound up with Obama as a result of the vote. 1-800-449-8255. Now, here's a scream. Here's the DHS Secretary Incompetano announcing Obama's nominee for TSA Chief Major General Bob Harding, who has a long history in the military and calls for using race as the primary hiring factor. This man is now running the TSA. Listen to 35.
I'm here today to announce that President Obama nominate Major General Harding to be the next administrator of the Transportation Security Administration.
Good guy.
This is a critical leadership position
for the security
of our nation.
Get those keys on the chain. Let's have the next one.
The administration is calling on an individual with more than 35 years of experience as an Army commander, as senior military intelligence officer.
All right, we heard all of it, but he calls for affirmative action. The TSA commander is a wonderful man, we're sure. Then why is he saying that race should be the primary driver and who's hired? That's what America needs right now? Put race above competence? I mean, I personally don't care what the race is. I pick the most competent person. But don't put race above every other factor. Well, there they are again. That's all, wherever you turn. Where is the story on Michael Savage? There's actually a better story, not wife's baby milk and chef cheese recipe. That's disgusting. Arrest them. Take the baby away and put the wife in a madhouse. That's a simple story. Any chef who takes his wife's breast milk, makes cheese out of it, and serves it in a restaurant should be arrested for public health violations. Restaurant closed down. He's put in a jail for 30 to 60 days. She's put in a madhouse in a straitjacket, and the baby is raised by the state. In my world. The most interesting story on my website is the sister of the Ringling Brothers family. Sister sues the blank out of Ringling Brothers for Shiva Boot. $110 million federal lawsuit by a Tourette's-afflicted woman who allegedly blurted out, F the rabbi before being booted along with a toy poodle. What caught my eye was the poodle, a little brown poodle, Teddy size. I'd like to mate my dog with her dog. Although, if she has Tourette's, it could be the dog already has Tourette's. You know, that's what I'm afraid of. Dogs do mimic dogs pick up people's characteristics. You know that, Phil? They mimic us. So I'm not going to look into this. It's a gorgeous brown poodle. Looks nuts like her when you look at the picture on my website. Ringling Brothers circus heiress Karen Feld. Who knew? Who knew that Ringling Brothers also was? And her pampered poodle, Campari, were tossed out of a memorial vigil for her aunt without a safety net. She claims an $110 million suit. Brother Kenneth, left bottom, said she unceremoniously told the rabbi where to go during the ceremonies. I don't know what that's about. But they're children of Adele and Irvin Feld, who operated the renowned Ringling Brothers Circus. I had no idea. How did you... Everywhere you turn. So the sister got thrown out by the brother, and she's got Tourette's syndrome. And she says to the rabbi, F the rabbi, before being thrown, along with a toy poodle Campari. It's a beautiful dog, but if a person has Tourette's, does the dog get it? Because they mimic us. They don't know from anything. The dog could, in a mental state, curse too, in its own way. They can't talk, obviously. Could it bark curses? It could snap. So if you mix it, like, let's say you have a dog with Tourette's, and you mix it with a dog that, a Turapoo, a Tourette's-a-poo? No, that doesn't work. That's mixing an ailment. I can't say the word disability anymore. That's a guy gets cousin. I love him. But he had a dirty mouth on him. I'll show you how my aunt, the same one who went in the freezer with the overcoat in the, with the fur coat in 104-degree weather in August in South Fallsburg, New York, because she didn't trust Moish the Butcher because he was a crook. So she'd put on the overcoat in the summer and go in the freezer to make sure he wasn't switching the meat on her. The same aunt had a cure for Tourette's, and she cured the kid at 4. He would. We lived together in the Bronx. I hope he's not going to take offense. It's meant in good. He liked the curse from the window on the second floor. For some reason, he'd sit in the window and everyone went by, you, you, whatever. Every kid, a dirty mouth on him, like a filthy, dirty mouth. He would make Rahm Emanuel look like an angel. Cursing. See, everyone went by, you, blah. She grabbed him, her own son. She took brown soap and washed his mouth out with soap. That was the cure. Today already, oh, you suffer an illness. Let's give you this psychotherapy. Lay on the couch. We'll give you behavioral. Change your thinking. Change your mind. Here, take these pills. Come back for the next 65 weeks. We'll pay for it. So when did you first get the impulse to start using words that are not acceptable by the racist, sexist, homophobic society? Well, because you realize that if you feel it, it must be true. And if you want to say it, it must be right. So really, don't feel ashamed of cursing people. It's your way of expressing your rage at the machine, because the society is so overbearingly racist, sexist, and homophobic that you have to express yourself. But take the medication anyway, because the drug companies pay us to do this. And although we don't really believe in it, we need you to take it in order to go on the trips to Hawaii. So therefore, we'll give you the mumbo jumbo for the next 65 weeks. The government will pay for it. Have a nice day. Next. She cured it with brown soap in the mouth. I'll be back. Savage. I can't. I'm drawn back to the story, not of Rahm Emanuel running around naked with a finger in the locker room, but the one on my website from the Ringling Brothers heirs suing each other, and the picture of the sister was thrown out by saying F you to the rabbi, and she says she has Tourette's, and her poodle, this little brown poodle, Campari, they say is trained. This I can't believe. So Karen claims she suffered a concussion. Oh, here. Karen became overcome with grief at the funeral, left the room with Campari, the dog, who was trained to detect the signs of an oncoming seizure. So in other words, before she curses, the dog knows it? That's amazing. Yeah, I'm trying to think about that. Maybe that's why Teddy... No, I can't go into it. Could he be detecting something, which is why he occasionally pees? I don't have seizures. Before a show? Nope. Nothing. They're smart, these little guys, but I don't know. They can detect things. They can smell cancer. No. Who knew Ringling Brothers was owned by the Feld family? You wouldn't know with the freaks and the nuns. Like, freak, go back to the show. 1-800-44. The Ringling Brothers really was Feld? It could have, see, that's the difference in a name. If the Ringling Brothers Circus was called the Feld Brothers Circus, would you have gone? That's the whole picture, that whole story. Now they're squabbling over the money. $110 million lawsuit because the dog told the rabbi. I don't know. It's crazy. Families, everybody. Same as ancient Rome. It's nothing new. They sued each other then, too, or they killed each other. Today we sue instead of killing. We kill each other in court, but it's the same kind of assassination. No different. What does it all mean at the end of the day? We got a train wreck here in the White House. We got this guy Massa yesterday, a big mouth. Oh, he strapped his children to a train. Big mouth. Oh, I'll tell all. Goes on Glenn Reck's show today, says nothing. And he says, I didn't say strap him to a train. I didn't say that Rahm Emanuel would strap his own children to a train. I'm telling you, I said he would strap my children to a train. He said the other thing. And train wreck sat there. He sat there. He didn't say anything. He ought to take a break, you know, from it already. He's lost it already. The big success story. What's with the 3D televisions with the glasses? Horrible. Would you want to look at your wife in 3D glasses? First of all, I don't like the idea of it. The whole thing with 3D, I remember when they came out in the 50s in the movies, they were fun. Let's see, there was a movie with Jeff Chandler, like the Broken Arrow. And we all, like when he shot it, when the Indians shot an arrow at the Cowboys, it came out of the screen at us. The kids screamed, ooh, look at that. Maybe I had a syndrome because I didn't see the arrow coming. Maybe there's something in there. The red and the green glasses, it was very difficult to watch. I don't think that's going to be a big hit. I really don't think it's going to. What's Biden doing in Israel? Very important. Mr. Ineffectual goes to Israel. You're going to tell him to commit suicide for Obama. Oh, sure. Thank you, Vice President. You'll give up the West Bank because you asked us to. Sure. Because he wants us to, because he works for the Saudis. Yeah, sure. We'll be glad to do it. Okay, what else is in the news? Nothing. It's actually a dead, you know, there's very little, this is a dead news day. I never say that. This is a very, the only thing in the news that's worth listening to is Nancy Pelosi. You play the soundbite again with a laugh track.
We stand at the doorstep of history, ready to realize a centuries-old dream. It's going to be very, very exciting. But we have to pass the bill so that you can find out what is in it.
Now, of course, we added the laugh of Hillary Clinton. There's an article in Politico says Nancy Pelosi's grip on House slips. I would say her grip on reality slipped a long time ago. Why do people go along with this? Can't anyone say that the Queen has no clothes? She's nuts. Revolts from Democrats in the Ways and Means Committee, the Congressional Black Caucus, the Blue Door Coalition, and politically vulnerable first and second term members are bolting against Queen Nancy. They say no to her. The dynamic stems from an every man for himself attitude developing in the Democratic caucus rather than a loss of respect for Pelosi, according to a senior Democratic aide. That's nonsense. That's cover talk. Pelosi's signature strength has been a firmer hand than past Democratically firmer hand. In other words, a dictator. An aptitude for wielding raw power in a consensus-minded caucus. Everything they spin. Her signature strength has been a firmer hand. In other words, she rules with an eye and lame heel. But her inability or unwillingness to dictate when Rep. Charles Rangel would resign his Ways and Means Committee chairmanship and who would replace him is one sign that she is commanding the caucus with less authority. Yeah, well, okay, fine. Heels of Pelosi's 180-degree turn on Rangel. After the Ethics Committee admonished him for breaking House gift rules, Pelosi issued a public message that he would stand by Rangel. Then, politically vulnerable Democrats sent the message right back. They would dump him if she didn't. So before leaders could gather last Tuesday to plan their week, politically imperiled Democratic lawmakers from around the country were making clear that they would vote with Republicans to strip Rangel of the chairmanship if Pelosi didn't avert a floor vote by getting him to step down. So they finally stood up to the Queen. And there's other things happening, and for different reasons. But that's the mark of a democracy, even when there's dissension in a party. When a party is one voting block, you have Chavez's nation, a nation of goons, a goon squad. There should be an argument within parties and between parties, and just as there should be an argument in a healthy nation between people until eventually a consensus is reached one way or the other. That's the sign of a democracy, which is the rabble arguing with each other. You want smoothness? Then go to a North Korea has a smooth political process. They all agree. Whatever the lunatic says, they agree with. That's what you want in America? Consensus immediately. Whatever the lunatic says, they agree with. Iran has a nice, smooth process, too. If you disagree with them, you get tortured. Venezuela, wonderful democracy, according to Sean Penn. Even though he beats people up, even though he has driven the middle class out to Florida and other states, he's a wonderful man, not a dictator. Why doesn't he just move there? Why doesn't that Hollywood swine finally move there and wind up as a shoeshine boy for the dictator that he can't get enough of? Just move the hell out of this country and go make movies for the propaganda ministry, Sean. Get the hell out of America. Most Americans hate you. Do you know that? You are laughed at behind your back. You're not even hated. You are laughed at as a bumbling lunatic. That's what most people think of him. They give him Academy Awards. Why? Because he makes one politically caponized movie after another. He can't even act. He cannot even act. He's a terrible actor. He does politically charged left-wing fanatic propaganda movies, and they give each other awards for them. This is the Savage Nation. I'm glad you're listening.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Thank you. Here's what's on MichaelSavage.com. The big story is that the Democrat congressman from upstate New York who was forced out by Obama and Rahm Emanuel because he wouldn't vote on Obamacare, they're fundamentally doing a whipsaw on him. On the one hand, they say gay is good. Now they're saying gay is bad. In other words, they blackmailed him for being gay, is what I'm getting, that he groped boys. Now, which way do they want it? And I don't understand how the gay lobby will put up with this kind of thing. This is a tactic out of the Soviet playbook. They're blackmailing him because he groped boys? I thought on one hand they say that that's perfectly fine behavior. But what, it's perfectly fine behavior if you play ball with them and perfectly bad behavior? If you don't play ball with the socialists, it's unbelievable. We're living in a banana republic. There's another big story on Michael Savage. Atheists and communists want Paul Revere, Christianity, and the Liberty Bell thrown out of state textbooks. Now, that's in Texas. But the modifications of the curriculum will impact millions of students across America. The communist left wants Christianity, Paul Revere, the Liberty Bell thrown out, and atheism, Mexicanism, anything anti-American put into the textbooks. You're fighting for the last gasp of the United States of America. Stand up and be counted. Don't let the atheists and the perverts have their way. On MichaelSavage.com is a couple of interesting stories from Forbes. World's billionaires becoming poorer. This year, the world's billionaires have an average net worth of $3 billion, down 23% in 12 months. And we even list the biggest billionaire losers. The 10 biggest dollar losers lost a combined $238 billion in the past year, more than the gross domestic product of Ireland or Israel. And you should see their names, the names of shame, whatever that means. Nut Sean Penn says critics of socialist dictator Chavez should be arrested. Justice Department under Holder rife with traitors. Ruling on gay Air Force major creates dilemma. I'm reading what's in MichaelSavage.com. Obama's finally picked someone to run the Transportation Security Administration, the TSA. And, of course, he is an affirmative action appointee who himself has long pushed for ethnic diversity as the primary determining factor in hiring. In other words, race should trump quality. How's that for a country? From CNN, machete-wielding Muslims killed 200 Christians. The Muslim attacker stormed a town at 3 a.m. Sunday and remained there for 2.5 hours. Buildings were set afire and people were attacked with machetes. The religion of peace is on the warpath, but you wouldn't know it. Geert Wilders knows it. Read the article on Michael Savage. He said the left is facilitating Islamization. Democrats are holding training sessions on how to talk tough about terror. You hear this? They have to train their own candidates on how to talk about defending America to show how they don't know what the hell they're talking about. Don't miss Savage suggests use religious freedoms to challenge Obamacare. It is the most original discussion in the media. And it is not being talked about anywhere except on this show and on MichaelSavage.com. If you're an intelligent person, you owe it to yourself to see what I have to say. Read about how the Schechter brothers, little kosher butchers, stood up against the last socialist dictator in America, FDR, and won. You may have to do it even if you're a Democrat. MichaelSavage.com. Take a look at the SS United States, America's greatest ocean liner and the fastest ship of its kind ever to cross the Atlantic. It's heading for the scrap heap. Look at the pictures I have up on it. Also, vegans are going to get discrimination rights. According to the British equality law, belief need not include faith or worship of a god or gods, but must affect how a person lives their life or perceives the world. So now veganism is a religion, as we warned you. You didn't know that. San Francisco, is it giving residents toxic compost? A left-wing advocacy group says San Francisco's free compost is processed sewage sludge. They deserve it. 1-800-449-8255. Defy global warming liars. Read this book in a blizzard. That's Michael Savage, Psychological Nudity. You won't believe that book. As long as we're at it, you may as well look at the ad for Banned in Britain. It's still the most important book on freedom of speech in America today, but you wouldn't know it. You wouldn't know it. What else wouldn't you know? Hey, what do you know? What else wouldn't you know? Six hospitalized after botched butt-enhancing procedures. A black market butt enhancement practitioner is injecting New Jersey backsides with household caulk and other hazardous materials. Well, has a job for Wallbanger when he leaves radio. Finally, on MichaelSavage.com, woman charged for squirting breast milk at a deputy. A press release from the detention center said that after the deputy decontaminated herself from the biohazard, the inmate was charged with third-degree assault for spraying the guard with breast milk. No comment. Savage now on Extra Sports 860 in San Francisco from 6 in the morning to 9 and then again in the afternoon at 3. My God! Savage plus Savage, a double play. That is what the media landscape should look like in America. Savage all day on the radio. That's it on MichaelSavage.com. What, iPad? A new gadget from Apple. What do you need a monster thing like that in your hand for? It has, you know, references to bodily fluids that I don't even want to go into. Well, who came up with that idea? What a mistake that is. I mean, who did they consult with there at Apple for that one? They should have run it by me. I mean, I know about what words and what they mean. iPad. You know, do I have to spell it out for you? It's like years ago, a couple of 20 years ago, 30 years ago, a car came out known as the Chevrolet Nova. It was a fairly popular small car in America. They sent it to South America. Nobody bought it. Why? Because Nova means no go in Spanish. Nobody in General Motors knew that Nova meant no go. And no one bought it. It was no sell. The same with iPad. What guy is going to buy an iPad? Would you buy an iPad? I mean, I would be ashamed to own it. I'll let it go. I don't want to get into this. I don't want to get into it. We're all waiting with a
Savage.
Another job report released last Friday for the month of February. And more job losses than expected. And this is a result, no doubt, of all the wonderful stimulus money at work, which didn't go to the people, but it went to Democrats to push the Democrat agenda. Here to uncover this scandal is James Shirk.
Last Friday's jobs report didn't have much good news, but it also didn't have that much bad news. It shows that things really aren't getting much better yet, but they also didn't get too much worse in February. Overall, the economy lost about 36,000 jobs in February, and we found out we lost a few more jobs than we thought in January, too, 26,000 instead of 20,000. Unemployment stayed steady at 9.7%, which is better than it going up, but is still some of the highest unemployment we've had in the past 25 years or so. So it's basically what we've been seeing is the economy appears to have moderated on the job losses. But we just aren't seeing the job creation yet, and that's been the big problem in this recession.
Well, how bad has it been?
To give you an example of just how bad the lack of job creation is, compare this recession to the last recession we had in 2001. Through the first six quarters of each recession, we actually lost more jobs. We had higher job losses, layoffs and firings and companies going out of business in the 2001 recession. 2.6 million more Americans lost their jobs in that downturn. But how can that be, you might ask, because this downturn has clearly been so much worse, and it has been. But the reason for that has been the fact that we have created 7.3 million fewer new jobs in this downturn. It hasn't been the layoffs. Layoffs were actually worse then than they are now. It's been the huge drop in job creation. Businesses are not hiring. If you've got a current company right now, you're much less likely to be hiring and adding new workers. Startups are way down, so you've got far fewer workers being hired at new companies. It's this large drop in investment in job creation that explains why the downturn is so bad. The problem with that, of course, is that it means that, well, nothing Obama's doing is going to help. Think about it. If you're a business owner, and Obama's spending another $100 billion or so on whatever jobs package he comes up with. Does all that government spending encourage you to go out and hire workers? No. It doesn't really do anything to make your business model more likely to succeed. It doesn't make it any more likely to have you bring in new business or do much of anything. If the government's spending billions more on roads, well, unless you provide cement and concrete for the roads, really doesn't affect your business too much, and you're not going to go out. And if anything, you're going to be looking down the road and saying, well, how are we paying for these enormous amounts of money that we're borrowing? well, we're going to have to raise taxes at some point. And who's the best target to hit for taxes? A successful business owner is one of the most attractive tax targets. What's that say about the likely return I'm going to get on any future investments I make? And so it makes people much less likely to invest. If we want to get the economy to turn around, Congress needs to stop making the problem worse. To give you another example of how crazy this is, there's a hearing on a bill called the Paycheck Fairness Act that we're going to have before the Senate on Tuesday. Now, this bill, everyone's for paycheck fairness, and the bill has a noble purpose to prevent sex discrimination in the paychecks being handed down. But that's basically the stated purpose of the bill.
So what's it doing then?
Well, it makes it much, much, much easier for the trial lawyers to go after companies and win enormous punitive damage awards. It lifts the cap on punitive damages for companies that are involved in these discrimination claims. Now, keep in mind, these companies still have to pay the legal fines and have to pay compensatory damages. What this opens the door to is the multi-million-dollar mega lawsuits that can bankrupt companies, which the trial lawyers want because they have their contingency fees. You know, if you get a $100 million judgment against a company and you're keeping a third of that, well, that's a lot of money for the trial lawyers. But it can also put these companies out of business, which the trial lawyers don't care about because, I mean, they want their money. That's what they're going to get. Now, what does this do if you're making it much easier for lawyers to go after companies and make themselves rich by bankrupting them or taking large amounts of money from them? What's it do to the incentive to invest? What's it do to the incentive to create jobs? If you're an employer and now all of a sudden hiring these new workers, you carry on this additional risk of a lawsuit that, hey, maybe one of these guys are going to try and sue me. What does that make you do before you consider hiring? It makes you much, much more cautious. It's ridiculous. The things we're doing right now do not help create jobs. They do not incentivize. They do not encourage businesses to go out and say, all right, I'm going to take the risk and the effort of putting my money behind this risky project, this project that could fail, because I see a business opportunity. I see an opportunity to make some profit. That's what we need more of to get the economy going, and we're going in exactly the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm.
Congress should be doing a complete 180-degree turn on this if they're serious about getting unemployment down. We should not be passing this health care bill that's going to raise taxes, that's going to make health care even more expensive for businesses to provide, that's going to raise the cost of hiring workers. We should not be passing these measures to basically give a handout to the trial lawyers. What we should be doing is encouraging businesses and removing the legal barriers that stand in the way of business success. Instead of making it easier for lawyers to go after companies, let's pass tort reform that, yes, you want the guilty companies to be punished, but you don't want the lawyers to have the incentives to just file dozens and dozens of lawsuits in the hope that one of them sticks and that they can collect a multi-million-dollar payout from that, in the meantime forcing the companies to burn millions of dollars on the legal fees. Make it more difficult for the lawyers to file frivolous lawsuits. For job creation, what about domestic energy production? We're already seeing the price of gas ticking up there. Well, we have tens of billions of barrels of oil worth hundreds of billions of dollars here in the United States that we're simply deciding we're not going to drill for. Open up Alaska. Drill for, allow more oil drilling in Alaska. Environmentally responsible drilling, but drilling for oil. Open up more of the Outer Continental Shelf and expedite those permits so that American companies can go and invest, earn immense revenues, make gas less expensive for all of us when we gas up at the pump, and create hundreds of thousands of jobs. It simply makes sense. It even means more taxes for the government. It's not just doesn't cost the government any money. It brings in money from the oil revenues. Or what about ridiculous provisions like the Section 404 of the Sarbanes-Oxley Act that requires publicly traded companies every year to get this annual external audit of their financial controls, everything down to taxi cab receipts and how they're handling meal expenses. It's enormously expensive for them to do this kind of audit every year, but $35 billion a year is the estimated cost of this provision of the Act.
That's crazy.
Well, do we want companies wasting that money on accountants, or do we want them investing it in new enterprises and new businesses and hiring? And because you've got rid of that unneeded cost, giving investors a greater reason to go in and invest because they'll have a higher return. It's simply pure deadweight loss. It's just red tape that's tying up companies. Get rid of it. If we really want to stimulate the economy, if we want to get the job creation back on track, let's get the government out of the way. The government is not part of the solution to the hiring problem. It's part of the problem. To get hiring going again, we need to give businesses better opportunities, and we can do that. It's simply not the way that Obama's going about things.
Can we make them listen?
Contact your member of Congress. Members of Congress do, in fact, listen to their constituents. That's the only reason healthcare hasn't passed so far, is there's been this enormous blowback because it's extremely unpopular with the American people. They do listen. Contact your members. Be involved in the political process. It's whatever form that it takes. We are a democracy. Unlike many other countries in the world, the government here in the United States is responsible to the people. It answers to the people. Ultimately, we have the final say. Pelosi can do what she likes, but only until November. And then in November, the people get to vote. And if we want new leaders, we get new leaders. Become involved in the process and make those politicians realize that if they go against what their constituents want, what the voters want, well, they're not going to be representing them any longer. That's what politicians listen to. Politicians are just as self-interested as anyone else. You hear people in Washington railing against greedy and self-interested businesses, and sometimes those complaints are fair. There are, in fact, greedy and self-interested businessmen. But the politicians are no different. They're greedy and self-interested. And what do they care most about? Maintaining their power, maintaining their privileges, and staying in office. If they're afraid that they're going to lose that office, well, they're likely to change their behavior. That's the best and the most effective way of making your voice heard.
James Shirk, thanks for the report.
Thanks for having me on again, Michael.
I'll be right back.
Savage.
Oh, healthcare, healthcare, healthcare. We keep hearing from Obama and his minions that this plan will do amazing things and it'll be something for everyone. There'll be pot in every chicken. And if so great, why are the majority of the American people against the healthcare reform that Pelosi, Reid, Rahm Emanuel, and Obama want so badly? What's in it that the people hate and they love? Joining us now from the Heritage Foundation is Chuck Donovan, who actually read it and is warning us about the promises being made in this absurd bill. Chuck Donovan, welcome to the Savage Nation. What do you think is in there, in that bill?
Well, Michael, it's a pleasure to talk about this. So it's a difficult issue, but the Congress of the United States, the Democrats in Congress, may be on the verge of sweeping away 35 years of restrictions on a funding of abortion with tax dollars, something that the vast majority of the American people are opposed to. What it seems they're going to ask the majorities in the Senate and the House to do is approve this Senate bill, Michael. And this bill would fund abortion in about five or six different ways. It's an ingenious construction. It allows the creation of these new multi-state exchange plans that will be operated by the Office of Personnel Management, which doesn't know a thing about running health care. But interestingly, throughout history for federal workers, the federal employees have had health care plans that don't cover abortion at all. And that's because of pro-life members of the House and Senate who enacted that. Well, this bill will create actually a mandate in federal law for the Office of Personnel Management to run health care plans that include abortion funding. They want to do it through this intricate system of setting up a separate payment that each person will make. But these are people who are going to get a federal subsidy for buying their health insurance, so it's a totally new thing. The other thing this legislation does is create a whole new system of community health center funding. We have community health centers across the country. They generally don't do abortions, but the way they've set up this bill, they'll definitely be able to fund them without any restrictions whatsoever.
The majority of Americans are against this. Why are they still pushing this reform? Why do they want it so badly?
Well, you know, every time we've turned around for the last 4 or 5 months, we've seen a situation which we thought was the end game, where the Democratic majority and President Obama, and basically they seem to have the votes. But when the American people had a chance to express their opinions, either at the polls, they've indicated they oppose this. Scott Brown's election in Massachusetts was a powerful testimony to the fact that the American people don't want this. I think what's happening here is that we've got a Democratic majority caught between the rock and a hard place. The rock is their base constituency, which thinks they have to get something done. This is the president's signature health care initiative. If it goes down in flames completely with the congressional majority he's got, he will look completely ineffectual in his domestic agenda. The hard place is that a significant number of Democrats don't want this funding and many other provisions of this bill. And it seems as if Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid, and President Obama are willing to walk quite a few of them off the plank electorally to get this through. The American people certainly don't want it, but at this point, we don't have any special elections coming up. It's going to take a response from the American people to get that across to this Democratic majority.
What does the public need to do to stop this?
Well, you have to keep writing letters to the editor. You have to keep talking on talk radio, Michael. The platforms that you provide across the country are incredibly significant. There will be another gathering in Washington on March 16th. Of Americans coming together. They've been derided as Tea Partiers. They're basically, cup of joe Americans, in my point of view, who are willing to step up and say, look, we want to cover more Americans, but having a Byzantine system managed by the federal government with huge regulations, 118 commissions set up to establish new laws and new requirements, mandates to cover everything under the sun, this is exactly the wrong way to expand coverage in the United States of America. And I will say, I think the message has gotten through. We'd have had health care last September. We might have even had it last summer if the American people hadn't stood up at town hall meetings across the country and said, no, we don't want this. And we do have elections every couple of years, but there are lots of other ways to let your member of Congress know that you feel strongly that this bill should not go through.
Well, do you think it's going to pass no matter what the people say?
I think it's touch and go. It'll be touch and go over the next 2 to 3 weeks. We're counting on, I think, a handful of members of Congress who have convictions to stand up and say no to this. The interesting thing is that the most important of that group might be 12 to 15 pro-life House Democrats. You know, it's not the Republicans at this point who are going to make the difference. It's going to be these Democrats who have had long-time commitments to vote pro-life. Most of them are not even blue dog Democrats. They are basically blue-collar, working-class Democrats, labor Democrats from the Midwest, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, Minnesota, Indiana. That's where you find these Democrats. And they've basically been voting for the pro-life position for decades in Congress. That's why I don't think they'll be moved by the political pleas from the White House. I think they see this as an issue of conscience, and they need to ask their leader that they can vote on conscience on this issue.
Chuck Donovan, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Michael, it's been a pleasure to be with you.
So let's go to the callers now around America. Thanks for listening. Pittsburgh, PA, Phil, what's on your mind? Go ahead. Thanks for calling the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage. It's an honor to speak to you. I'd like to tell you, I'm about 40 years old, and we've had the Steeler Nation here in Pittsburgh for as long as I've been around.
Really? So I stole it from them?
No, I'm not saying that, but it's called...
Well, no, maybe I did. I didn't even know it. I didn't even watch sports. Okay, you got me there. I'm glad. So how long ago did they call it the Steeler Nation?
For as long as I've been around here, but the reason why...
That's good. Well, I'm glad to hear I stole it subliminally. I didn't even know it.
Everyone lives here, and it's because we have such a backwards cronyism style of Democrat politics. Everybody votes party ticket till they die. Our roads are full of potholes. It's just,
Well, in San Francisco, the roads are full of pot. You're a step ahead of us.
Nah, I wouldn't go there. But I did have a question for you, talking about the gentleman that they found in New Jersey, was it? I'm getting ready to buy my first concealed carry handgun, and I wanted to see if you had any suggestions for which route I should go with it.
Now, do you currently own a handgun?
No, sir. It'll be my first one, but I've been going to the range frequently. And,
all right, I can give you advice. First of all, I have or had an advertiser named Kel-Tec, and they make an incredible 380 handgun that is the smallest and lightest handgun made. And I actually picked it up when I went to Florida. For some reason, I couldn't get it in California. It's amazing. It has a laser sight on it. And I got to tell you something. There's nothing more frightening to a perp than having a red dot that scans the ground as you search for him, and the dot goes on his head. It tends to take a little of the vinegar out of their attempts to do something to you. Now, it's a small gun, a 380 round. Don't kid yourself. You don't want to get hit with it. I would use it as a backup gun. I would not use it as a primary. As a primary gun, you got to use something on the order of a 357. I love, they're not an advertiser, but the Smith magnesium, the Magnolite, is an amazing weapon. It's got a tremendous powerful kick on it, though, because, again, it's made of such lightweight material. You have a conceal and carry permit in Pittsburgh?
Working on it.
Well, they're hard to get, as you well know, and you have to decide how bulky you want it? What are you using it for? Are you in police? You're not in police work.
No, sir. We do sports shooting frequently, but it's never gotten to the point where I was actually, I was previously married to a trauma nurse, and the rule was no guns, no motorcycles.
Yeah. Well, you need a gun in the house. Every home should have a gun. Every house in America where there's a legal American citizen should have a handgun in it. That's the first rule of America, was have a gun to protect yourself. That's number one. It would reduce the crime rate overnight so that they wouldn't feel you're going to sit there and dial a security company. Help is on the way. Don't you love those ads on TV? It's always a scared white woman in the house with two children. The husband left her to run off with his boyfriend, and she's alone with the children. And the burglar is always a white guy who looks like a fraternity, a white guy in a fraternity. He breaks in, and she runs upstairs, and she dials a security company. And they got a whole room full of people. Oh, don't worry. Help is on the way. By the time help arrives from one of those companies, you'll be tape ducked and shipped to Indonesia. Anyway, my favorite handgun in the world is still the best, most accurate, but they're not a conceal and carry gun. It's the old 45. You know the one I mean, the old military grade?
Old 1911.
You can't beat that gun. It's so heavy. It's so accurate. It's accurate. It's easy to shoot because it's so heavy, and it's easy to track, but it's not a conceal and carry gun. Let's not turn this into a gun show. I knew someone in the radio business who committed Harry Carey by doing this on a regular basis.
Savage.
The Texas School Board is deciding what to remove and what to replace and what to insert into their history textbooks. Here are some of the things that the radical left vermin are wanting them to do.
There were a number. Fortunately, feedback from citizens was allowed. One of the craziest examples was the removal of Christmas and replacing it with Diwali as one of the studies of the religious holidays. That's something that didn't go over very well, and the board unanimously overturned that. The Columbus and Neil Armstrong, that was reversed. Now, but there are a number of things that haven't been reversed. I mean, for instance, taking out Thomas Edison, who had over 1,000 patents, who, you know, is one of the greatest inventors in the history, taking out Albert Einstein, and yet we added in Mary Kay Ash and Famous Amos cookies. Sure, the professors, he's at a great university at A&M. I doubt they removed Thomas Edison there in their teaching and replaced him with Famous Amos cookies.
You see, the vermin on the left would like to remove any mention of Einstein and Edison, because in spite of the fact that they've made tremendous contributions to science and humanity, they're white males. And so they have to be erased from history by the vermin on the left. Meanwhile, Obama's Secretary of Education was criticized for going to Robert E. Lee High School.
I just want to get a sense of the schools. I think you have remarkable students here. I'm real proud of them. They're working hard. They're very, very serious about their future.
Part of the reason Secretary Duncan is in the state of Alabama is to make a major education speech, but his visit here to Lee High School was surrounded by some controversy.
One Alabama lawmaker called on Duncan to cancel his trip to this high school because of whom it was named after, Confederate General Robert E. Lee.
How could they be so demented and get away with it? Is there anything lower than this? My God, it gets worse. Listen.
Yeah, this apparently is from a local place here in New York, and they just had a child, and so they thought it would be maybe an interesting thing to make cheese out of New York chef Daniel's Unger, is his name, Clee Brasserie, his wife's
breast
supported
milk.
That effort.
That's what it is. It's breast that's, milk cheese.
So what if a Republican administration had threatened to out a congressman unless he went along with them? What would have happened in the media, Beowulf? You needn't say a word. We understand we're living in the grossest hypocritical administration in history under the dictator Obama. 1 in 6 Americans infected with herpes. Did you hear what Pelosi said? We had that soundbite today, didn't we? We have to pass the bill so you can find out what's in it. Wait, let's repeat that. Nancy Lugosi says we must pass the health care bill so you can find out what's in it. She's the Speaker of the House, third in line to take over the world. It's Pelosellian.
You coined a new phrase.
I hear there's 3D TVs coming out tomorrow and today. People are going to be sitting around with glasses.
I'd hate to see Pelosi on that.
Any updates on Sean Penn saying reporters should be jailed for calling Chavez a dictator? Did the reporters say anything to that pile of offal?
No. Strangely silent on that front.
Strangely silent. New York City chef serving cheese made of his wife's breast milk. How's that for degeneracy? God, Beowulf. I was watching a show last night on the Roman Empire and how it started. No, how it started with a great emperor named Augustine, and how it reduced itself to calamity under the degenerate of degenerates, Nero, the 16-year-old who inherited it from his degenerate uncle. So, you know, not all emperors were bad. Some were good. But in the end, they were all bad. And the nation started going downhill when sexual license became acceptable. It eventually led to mass killings in the arena and then setting Christians on fire by coating them with tar and setting them on fire, something the ACLU would no doubt find quite appealing.
Didn't the Roman Empire have some immigration problems, too, with the barbarians or something like that?
Yes, of course they did. The barbarians broke the empire in two.
Oh, that's right.
Just like our empire is being broken in two by the Mexican illegals who have swarmed over the border and have broken our schools, broken our courts, broken our hospitals. And now, of course, the illegitimate politicians are fundamentally working for the illegitimate.
There you go.
Illegitimate non carborundum. You know, it's interesting that dogs work. They are working dogs. You watch a show on nature. Like I love nature shows. Science Channel, they showed 6,000 feet below the sea creatures that I never knew existed. Every one of the creatures below the sea has adapted over the eons to some form of capacity to hunt for its food, to hide from the predators that want to eat it. Every single creature in the ocean is either prey or predator to one species or another of another kind of sea organism. And the point of the story is that every animal on Earth works to both protect itself and find its own food, except man. Man may be the only animal on Earth that relies upon others to feed it and gives others nothing in return. And that's why we are resentful of a government that seems to be more concerned about the freeloaders than about those of us who provide the income for the freeloaders. You think this is all hot air and rhetoric? You are mistaken, my friend. Do you know that over 60% of Americans receive more benefits than they pay in taxes? That means 40% of us support 60% more of us. That means that it's an insupportable structure. Did you hear what I just said? Why on earth should we support able-bodied people? Why should we educate and provide medical care for illegal aliens and their children? Why should prisoners be given such glorious treatment in prisons where it costs $50, $60, or more thousand dollars a year to give them everything under the sun? Special religious meals and books. I didn't say turn it into a devil's island, but I would say something is wrong with a country that is so led by the liberal left that we are bled until there's nothing left in us to give. And I learned from nature. I'm still working at my age. I could have retired a couple of years ago. There were times I couldn't have, but there are times that I could. Why do I keep working? At this point, it's in my blood. It's in my blood. That's all there is to it. I was raised to work. I was thinking about this the other night to tell you this on the radio. What do you mean I was raised to work? Someone beat me with a hose? No. What do you mean I was raised to work? I'll tell you exactly how, in case you want to know how to raise your children. I thought about it the other day. As I get older, I start thinking back on my childhood a lot. My mother and father, if they were to talk about someone in the neighborhood, in the building, and we grew up in the Bronx, they would say, oh, he's a hard worker. They would say it with almost a whisper looking up to him. Didn't matter what he did. They said, Joe is a painter, but he's a hardworking man. In other words, they said it with respect, the way they said it. So I learned that they respected people who worked hard. That was an important thing in my development, I realized looking back. In other words, they weren't doing it for me. They didn't say, oh, let's show young Michael how to grow up and who to become. They respected people who worked hard, and they had no respect. They had just contempt for leeches. I don't think they knew any. There was not a person in the building who didn't work hard. Everybody worked. Everybody raised a family. The children were clean. They were all well fed. They were all poor, but nobody knew they were poor. the apartments were clean. And long after we were left the neighborhood, another generation moved in from a different country of origin. And they were a little different. They burnt their, they were on welfare. And they burnt their mattresses and threw them out of the window into the streets if they didn't get fed. You know, sort of like you'd see at a zoo on a Monday. And you wonder why there's anger in this country? How did this happen? How did a whole nation of hardworking people get taken over by a nation of leeches? And a government that caters to the leeches, not the people who give them the money to give to the leeches. How does this happen? It's unnatural. It's insane. So you want to know what the Tea Party movement is about? You want to know what conservative talk radio has been about? You want to know what my best-selling books have been about? You want to know what the town hall meetings have been about? You want to know why the politicians and the reporters look like deer, you know, in the so-called searchlight? Because they saw real people really angry with real knowledge of what the hell is going on. They know that they've been had and they don't want it anymore. They're not going to take it. It's all screwed up. It's all screwed up. As my father used to say to me, if you go to Coney Island at low tide, what's left there on the beach at low tide is what we have in politics. He was very cynical.
Savage.